That is Michaela of White Boy talking about her performance overall and how things are looking like going forward. Meanwhile, talking our family stories about golf, Rory McIlroy said it was fitting that he was able to win the FedEx Championship yesterday after a year in which he has led the opposition to golf's breakaway LIV Tour. McIlroy won his third FedEx title after coming back from a 6-shot adrift to beat Scottie Scheffler and Sungjae Im by 1 shot at Eastlake. The North Irishman said he hated what the tour was doing to the game and it would be out of stomach facing some of the LIV players when he lines up for the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth next month. That is Rory McIlroy talking about his performance in a FedEx championship that he won over the weekend. Yeah, a lot to talk about. I mean, coming from 6 down. Whew, what a performance that was from him. You can drop us your WhatsApp, 060-584-2250. What made your weekend? What was the special moment for you this past weekend? On the other side of this, we'll be chatting to Kanyiso Twaku. Wallabies, the box. Yeah.
Game Time, powered by SABC Sport.
Coach Roger Dessau. What is Roger Dessau going to be doing now? Are you going to take over show? Are you going to take over the show afterwards?
There are some options right now, and I think probably by...
Come on, Roger. What are the options?
Doing another national team, preparing that national team for the World Cup.
Our region, or is it the North? Is it the West? Where are we?
It's not in Africa. I'll be out of there for the World Cup in Qatar.
When you go to Qatar, you know, remember people like me, you know. Can you agree on this part here, Roger? Once the project is confirmed and you are at liberty to talk about it, can you come back and tell us where the project is?
Not a problem.
Game Time, powered by SABC Sport.
It is a Monday. Have your say on Game Time, 060-584-2250. That is the WhatsApp number. You can actually get a hold of us. And then 086000-2479. That's the number. 086000-2479. Let's have a conversation. Your team won this past weekend. Your team lost this past weekend. What made it for you to become their standout? What was a standout moment for you? Moving now to talk about rugby news. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show until we get to the end. Kanyiso Swaku is joining us here, SABC Sport journalist. Kanyiso, let's talk about this weekend. What a weekend that was for the Boks. I mean, they lost in Adelaide. Hey, yeah, ne? Good evening and welcome to the show.
Good results. What a weekend for the Springboks. Well, look, as well as those results, firstly, good evening, Brian. Good evening, listeners. The boxing race, there were a lot of issues that people were raised with regards to Australia's off the ball incident, Paul Williams officiating. The fact remains the Springboks had 13 visits to Australia 22 and only had 17 points to show for it. That is probably the biggest problem that the Fox are playing a brand of rugby that is going forward, but not creating as many, not being converted into opportunities. And it's a conversation that the Fox coaching management has spoken about at length in press conferences throughout the year. It's not a one-game issue. I remember the Wales game at Loftus. There was an issue with the Fox getting into 22 and not converting opportunities, whereas Wales, whenever they got into the 22, they scored. That issue went to Bloemfontein. The game in Bloemfontein, South Africa had 9 entries into the World 22, but did not even score a try. In Cape Town, the Fox did score more tries than normal, but again, they weren't as accurate as they could and they should have been in the 22. Same thing in the All Black Test. Whereas the one in Mel State, one handsomely at that, but you always felt that the Fox had more tries in them than they let off. Same thing at Ellis Park. They got into 22 tries in the first 10 minutes. Didn't have any points to show for it. All Blacks made 2 entries. They got a boxing yellow card in Damien Benhamton. And in 2 other entries, they scored. So it's clear that the Springboks have patterns of play that work for them. They get the win in the 22, but now converting those opportunities is seemingly now the problem.
Let's talk about the coach. I mean, end of the game, Dave Rennie came out and praised his forward pack after the Wallabies ensured that a 9-year record of keeping South Africa winless in Australia was left intact. So what do you make of that? And also talking about the Australians, how they started off the game overall.
Look, again, Dave, this is a clip I watched on YouTube that dissects the officiating and how certain small things that the Australians did that were illegal from a right perspective created opportunities for them to score. And the first try by Fraser McCrite was born of an illegality committed by the Australians. It wasn't the type of the match official. But then again, when you are the attacking team, you tend to have more luck or things tend to go your way when you create those kind of attacking opportunities. So what Australia did well is that, with the game, it boils down to what you do with the ball and team, because the Springboks had more position and more territory, but did not use that effectively as Australia did, because Australia, in the first 10 minutes, had 2 entries in South Africa today, 2 that 10 points show for it. South Africa spent 14 and a half minutes in Australia's 22 towards the end of the first half. They only had 3 points show for it, but they didn't score a try. So it boils down to the use of opportunities. And I think no matter what the coaching camp will say, it's become clear that they know how to get to the 22. But it's the inability to convert those opportunities into points that's the problem. I mean, Brian, you are a veteran, self-accommodating. One of the things that you often criticize a lot of teams in South Africa is that they play very flowing, very structured football, but seemingly lose their bearing in the final third. I think the Springboks are at that level. They know where to play the rugby. They know how to play the rugby, but it's converting that. It's that final pass, that final touch, that movement that creates space either close to a ruck in midfield or wide for them to score a try that's currently missing at the moment.
I mean, you mentioned at the top that there were some questionable refereeing decisions that were made on the day. Let's talk first of all about that issue about Makozele Mapimpi. Do you think that was a shoulder charge or was a tackle? And also, there's also issue about Nick White. We saw Favre declared being sin binned. Should a TMO intervene there?
Well, the TMO could have shouldn't intervene, but also took the place of the referee. The Makozele Mapimpi tackle that was committed by Marika Korombeke was one illegal. It did not wrap. And also to the game, he tackled from the play because he put his head in the wrong position. So it speaks to, one, the referee culture that Nick White is from. But in New Zealand, there are a lot of things that tend to get away from referees that they wouldn't call on you. And I think that's a good referee. And I think I suspect that maybe an English or a Northern Hemisphere match official would have definitely wanted that particular tackle in effect, because
they are bred in a different rugby culture or a different green culture where if there is a whiff of illegality, they'll go through the process. And so you would rather have a process where they go through the call and say, and where the referee says, I am happy with the decision, we can award no try. Or the referee would say, you know what, let's reverse the decision. That was an illegal tackle. And from that illegal tackle, that a penalty try and a yellow card should be awarded. That's the Makazule Mafiki part. The Nick White part, that was also foolishness from a fast declare because you know that at the half that you can't hit the ball out of the hand of another half that before they actually release the ball. That is a penalty. So what Nick White did is just that it was very disappointing to see him do something that belongs on soccer field or rugby field way now. It's effectively just a brush in the face and it's multi for what it's worth. But also it's the kind of gamesmanship that Australia engaged in that actually makes sure that they actually get the match official. They're a very nagging, a very niggling side that actually allowed referees. I think that they actually con the referees into the decision. So even at that time, they will take their time to roll away. But they also lift their arms up without actually moving away from the board. There was an incident where I think it was the Australian hooker for La Paella, where he deliberately did not roll away, and then actually the largest Springbok street ball. For some reason, Paul Williams saw no, didn't see it as an offense, and decided not to actually, to award the penalty. There were also necros that he would give to South Africa were the ones perpetrating them, but for some reason, it was Australia who were perpetrating those particular necros, they wouldn't give the yellow card.
All right.
So, the penalty, so it's those instances that are very, very problematic with officiating where if you're penalizing one team for making a particular infraction, do that to another team. I think, and it's a very good example so far was Stuart Bond, Wayne Bond in the first game of Mobella,
where he was
very,
but
very, very, very particular in how he punished both teams for the very same offenses.
All right, thank you very much for your time, and we'll chat with you some more, some other time. Thank you very much for taking time to speak to us on Radio 2000 Game Time. In fact, that win really just gave the coach of Australia some breathing space ahead of the World Cup next year. So let's pay some bills, and on the other side of this, we celebrate a champ.
Game Time, powered by SABC Sport.
Manintomi Ravele, I remember from the PSL days when we used to work very closely together. The time when you moved to Netball South Africa and a bit on PSA rather. There's a huge conversation that's happening at the moment around women in sports. You have been there before. You have seen all of this before. Mm-hmm. Should we even be discussing this now? Should this be a discussion at the moment?
I'm happy that the discussion is at a president's level of the country because we have been raising these issues for years and the department even didn't listen to us. And now that the president is announcing it, and I think we would actually follow up to make sure that what the president has announced is actually implemented.
Game Time, powered by SABC Sport.
Time is now at 37 minutes after 6 p.m. Good evening and welcome to the show. We are now joined by the champion. The champ is here. Tetenijana, good evening and welcome to Radio 2000. I think he's gone. Yeah, and after running for 5 hours, Shali, I understand. Let's go. Let's just try and go to the voice notes. And we'll try and sort out the line once we get him back on the line. That is Tetenijana. One, the comrades, 5 hours, 30 minutes and 38 seconds. That was how you won it. Let's go now to the lines. Let's just go to the voice notes.
Yeah, I have to comment about my team, Pirates. I'm happy that we won, but I can see that there's still a lot to be done. And be clinical in front of goal. Yeah.
Seem to have a problem with the line. As soon as we get that sorted out, we'll reconnect and be able to play the voice note. Let's try in a different dimension, shall we? Try and get the voice note being played here on Radio 2000. So, can still send us a voice note? Let's just go through them now. So, we now have Tete on the line.
It's Larry from Newcastle. Yeah, I would like to comment about my team, Orlando Pirates. I'm happy that we won, but I can see that there's still a lot to be done. If they can be clinical in front of goals, yeah, it can come all right. But with passage of time, we'll come right. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Let me for Newcastle, thank you very much for dropping us a line there and just giving us your thoughts of the game of the weekend. We'll play some more of those. Tetenijana now joins on the line. Champa, good evening and welcome to Radio 2000.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on Radio 2000.
Tell you, probably the guys in Mafikeng are standing outside celebrating you. What a race. What a run. Wow. 5 hours, 30 minutes, and 38 seconds.
Yes, sir.
I mean, in 2019, you were 50th overall in the Alpha Marathon, you know? And you came back this time around. Your preparation, because last year in the COVID-19, Arachono Mata, we took it to one for tournament this year.
My preparation went well from data I did from 2019. Yes, and I would like to thank my coach and my sponsors, Future Life, Biogen, Nike, Bavaria, Testy. Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about the overall race. I mean, somebody mentioned something being to say, you know what? If that was finished in a different place, you might have broken the record. Don't you think so?
maybe, but I can't say so. Maybe, but I don't doubt myself.
I mean, you dedicated this victory to the Northwest University and said that it's for the people of Mafikeng. Are you home yet? Have you arrived home yet?
Not yet. I'm still on my way to the camp, and then I will leave the camp to home tomorrow.
You are a security guard by profession at the Northwest University, and you ran this race after finishing 50th in 2019. What got you to eventually win it this year?
Pardon?
You finished 50th in 2019. Yeah. Now you've done it this time around, and you had Edward Mutibi securing when you went past them earlier in the race. Did you think this was done and dusted, or were you always thinking back to say they might just catch up with you at some stage?
Hey, I can't hear you properly, sir.
I think he's on the road. He's driving home. But I know what you want to say, champ. Thank you very much, and congratulations for making sure that since 2012, South African men are the one that actually win the race, and all of the best in all the future races that are coming up for you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you much. I will try and get him on probably next time when he's on the other line, because I'm unable to hear what he was saying there, and he can hardly hear me as well. So that is the champion, Tetenijana, won the 2022 Comrades Marathon, the downhill. 5 hours, 30 minutes, and 38 seconds. Wow. Let's go to the lines. Charlie, we have some voice notes to play? Or you want to go to Josta Zaza now? We want to get Josta Zaza and talk about the MTN 8 over the weekend. Let's now go to the voice notes.
Bruno, well done all four teams as the Richegu semi-finals. I wish a draw. Sundowns can meet Chiefs. I'll be happy about that. Thanks a lot. Because Petem team, the original from Wapak, but currently I'm here in Joburg.
Mr. Mofokeng, first four teams that are going to semi-final of this MTN 8, it shows you how hard is it going to be. And then I see Orlando Pirates, slowly they are getting there. I hope they are going to get into this final. Maybe also winning it, who knows. I don't care if Sundowns is there, Chiefs is there or what, but I see the boys, they are getting there very slowly. Let's wait and see what draw is going to be giving us, and then who's going to meet who and where. My name is Tozamile Sila in West Coast.
Good evening, Bruno. It's President Truck Driver. Kabu Yellow. My wish is to meet Chiefs again so that we can settle the score. We can settle.
Good evening, Brian. What the weekend was for Northwest. Comrade Marathon, top three, all the way from Northwest. So I think the provincial government will do something for the guys. They've put them somewhere. So, and as for Kaizer Chiefs, I'm happy the guys won the game. I don't know what was the idea behind to take that game to that small stadium. I'm glad Kaizer Chiefs won. Remember the guys break into the stadium while Kaizer Chiefs scored to celebrate the goal. So I was worried what will happen if Kaizer Chiefs lost that game. So, but anyhow, I'm happy for the win. Let's see. I wish for the Soweto Derby in the final, but I smell some Soweto Derby in a way. Have a good one, my brother. Pizzo here in Karankua. Thanks.
2000, it's Lebogang Lesia speaking from Harrismith in Magolokwe. Hi, guys. One of the weekend's game, you know. You see, that tackle that was made by that guy on Mapimpi should have been a penalty try. I mean, first he came from the side, and another thing, with no hands. I mean, guys, besides the drop, the box dropping points, but the referee on that side, I mean, come on, dudes. Yo, anyway, let's see what you guys say, sure.
There you've got it, yeah. And I watched it, and I thought should have been, but hey, you know... It's a story for another day, but I just think that the box just never showed up. That's my take. I think we should have done better. I think we had a whole lot of things to do much better this time around. Let's move now from the oval ball and go to Formula One. Prince Ndiweni is the one that joins on the line. Prince, good evening and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, no, it was one of those. Eh?
Max
stopped everybody. Eh? Max was just something else.
No, it was too much. It was too much. And even from qualifying, the way he qualified was a statement, Brian. I mean, hardly any effort, and the kind of gap he had to the nearest guy, 0.6 seconds, spoke for itself.
I mean, you talk about the penalties. I mean, we all thought, okay, after the penalties, grid penalty, he might just struggle. Yeah. He might not be able to make it. But somehow he just delivered. He just came out and showed what exactly he's right there at the top.
100%. When you have a car as fast as the one Max Verstappen has, a penalty doesn't really hurt the potential of the car. I think, and apart from that, it's just generally they're able to cut through the field a lot easier at Spa versus many other circuits. That's why you saw a lot of drivers were able to, or a lot of teams risked taking penalties at Spa. Because it offers that opportunity. It's very easy to pass there. It's not difficult because of, by and large, Sector 1 and 3 are the ones that have the long straight. You're able to take advantage of the slipstream. So you saw a lot of easy overtaking opportunities and a lot of exciting racing moments. So it's the best place to do that. And if you put that on top of the fact that the Red Bull is a fast car already, it's just so much easier for Verstappen to make it through. So hence the result we saw.
Let's talk about Lewis Hamilton as well as Fernando Alonso. I mean, that for me was a turning point of the race after that.
Yeah, no, 100%. The expectation was a potential podium for Lewis Hamilton, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw that George Russell was able to get fourth, then third was realistic for Lewis to expect. But it was all his fault going into that one. He also admitted to that. You could see that Fernando Alonso had nowhere else to go. And that's really what happened. If someone's already squeezed and has nowhere else to go, chances are it's going to be a collision. And that's the damage we saw. And what we know is that there was a leak of some sort of fluid. It ended up filling Alonso's visor when Lewis was in front of him. And the engine has now been taken back to the Brixworth factory to be checked on, just in case there's serious damage to the engine. And he might end up taking a grid penalty, having to replace that engine at the Zandvoort race that we're going to this weekend. So we do look out for news about that.
What is going on the Ferrari? I think, you know, we talk every time when I talk to you, we always have to mention Ferrari because of what you expect from them. Mercedes, on the other hand, also, with some of the problems that we've had. I mean, what is happening at Ferrari?
Well, Ferrari, it's laughable, honestly, because it's and that comes from a place of pain, because, as you know, everyone is a Ferrari fan, and what we expect of Ferrari is totally different to what we're seeing here. It's the decision making in crucial moments, really, that comes to it. This time around, the car was struggling to maintain the tires, so the tire degradation was really bad. I mean, the more the race progressed, the more the tires wore away, and it seems that the tires wear away a bit quicker with the Ferrari than the immediate competitors, Red Bull. So they were struggling already with that. Now, you top that with the decision-making, particularly with strategy and pit stops. Sainz, Charles Leclerc was unlucky in the early parts because he got the visor that Max the tear off. So drivers wear a sort of plastic, a translucent plastic over their visors so that they can clear it off in case it gets dirty and throw it aside. So Max was stepping through his out of his car, and it went into Charles Leclerc's brake duct. So that caused an issue, and he had to pit. So that was a bit of bad luck. So when you went on to medium, they seemed to be fine. But towards the end of the race now, when they had the opportunity to secure themselves fifth place, Ferrari insisted for Charles Leclerc to pit for a new set of tires when he didn't really need to. And ultimately, that's what cost them the fifth place finish. And Alonso came and stole it from Charles Leclerc when he returned to the track. When you ask yourself, why are they making such a decision? Because you've got a comfortable fifth place and Carlos Sainz is fine in third.
Yeah.
Why not just let him go on to the end of the race? It really makes no sense.
That for me was the biggest problem also. I mean, you're talking about Sainz overall and Perez were all there eventually. Where do you go where to from now? After this race, where do you go to next? And are there going to be any twists to look at? Maybe something to surprise some of us?
So we're going to the Dutch Grand Prix. It's Max Verstappen's home race. Technically, this was Max Verstappen's home race as well, because I think his mother's from Belgium. But
yeah,
Dutch Grand Prix is his home race, I suppose. So that's where we're going this weekend. It's another race weekend. What we can look forward to is seeing how teams now make this adjustment from going from a high-speed power circuit to a less power-demanding circuit. Zandvoort isn't as demanding and isn't as long as Spa, which is the longest circuit we have at 7 kilometers and has some of the longest straight sections. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams, after the summer break and whatever improvements they found over summer, can apply them to a track that is philosophically different. So it's almost like the opposite philosophy going into this track. So yeah, that's going to be interesting. And the potential grid penalty for Hamilton might be a thing. So we do look out for that. However, Red Bull really look like they're running away with this championship.
All right, Prince, thank you very much for chatting to us. We'll chat to you some more as we get into the Dutch Grand Prix, and that will be this coming Sunday, and moving on to see what will happen. More drama. I love drama. I'm that guy who wakes up and like, yeah, yeah.
That's why you subscribe, Brian. That's why you subscribe.
You know what? I've always, you know, from the days of Michael, I was a Ferrari fan. So
when things don't
go well for Ferrari, then yeah, that's a problem, eh?
But, you know, so I can imagine the pain of you. It's going to be a long season
for
you, Brian.
It's okay. It's okay, Prince. It's okay. Keep rubbing it in. It's okay. Thank you very much, Prince. Talking here, F1. What a weekend that was also. Let's go back to the voice notes. I think we have more of those. Let's just hear what you got to say about the weekend. And I think a lot of people want to see Chiefs and Sundowns. And they want to see us away to Derby final, possibly. Let's hear some of your voice notes.
Good evening over there in the studio. My highlight of the weekend goes straight to Comrades, the coach of the champion, the champ, the Mr. Dave Adams. He has really done an amazing job having to secure 6 medals in the top 10, gold medals in the top 10. Number 1, 2, 3, number 5, I think a number 7. They're all under from his camp. And the lady herself, the number fifth lady in the Comrades Marathon, all under one coach. I don't think there's ever been any coach who produced 6 gold medals in the Comrades. Well done. Big ups, Mr. David. Dave Adams. Big up, Mr. Fully behind you.
Good evening, crew and the listeners. Napster in Worcester. I wish I could say much about my team, Kaizer Chiefs. It won, but it's still a lot to be done. It's still a lot to be done. Anyway, thumbs ups to Itumele Nkune. You did well, bruh.
Hey, Mr. Mfokeng, Ashmanish. I wish Sundowns can meet. I don't know what this for. Can meet Orlando Pirates. So that Mazlu can meet Chiefs. Maybe finally we'll be see what we're gonna meet. Yeah. We have another HMS team, but in the first field. I'm Sabins. Okay. Bye, you.
Thank you very much for those. And I tell you, you know what? Something we never spoke about. Itumele Nkune. The last time he played for Chiefs, Charles, was on the 15th of August in 2021 in the quarterfinals of the MTN 8. Played that game. 2 all the final score in that encounter. Chiefs lost that game 2-1 on penalties. He saved one penalty that was taken by Lale Kay, but Sundowns really dominated Okene Mwene, making 4 saves of the penalty that was taken by Kaizer Chiefs overall. They won the game by 2-1. So it's been a year and 13 days since he last played for Chiefs. And he came on the weekend and delivered the good. Let's go now to Pretoria. Our favorite Kimberley, Chantel. Good evening. Welcome to the show.
Being brown in the 18 area. How are you doing, my king?
I'm all good, Chantel. The weekend was good to me. How was your weekend?
The weekend that was, king. Can I start there? I'm first going to say I'm very sorry for our national teams because they didn't perform so well, but I believe they will rise. And then when it comes to my team, Amakosi, beautiful king, Brian, all I want to say is, who made Amakosi rise, King Kune? Yes. Who made Amakosi rise, King Kune? King Brian, no matter what people used to say about King Kune, that he's old, but he showed to us that he's not cold. He is still on fire. So I believe Amakosi will rise. Just wait and see, King Brian.
Thank you very much, Chantel. And I tell you, you always supported Kune and you delivered once again. Thank you very much for taking time to speak to us. We'll chat to someone next time.
God bless you for time. Bye.
Thank you very much, Lady Chantel, just giving us her thoughts on the performance of Itumele Nkune. Did very well over the weekend, I've got to say. Let's go back to the voice note.
Hi, good evening, Radio 2000. Funny job from Brett. First of all, I would like to congratulate my team, Orlando Pirates, for going through. And I wish them a draw tonight. I wish they can draw the big one, Sundowns. That's a game that we are looking up to. And then I'm worried about the Stellies. This thing of taking a game of such magnitude to Danny Craven Stadium, they systematically inviting problems. At the end of the day, there might be some eruptions at that small stadium. They can't afford a game of that magnitude and take that game to Danny Craven. I hope they will change their mind in the next coming games. They must never, ever repeat the very same thing again. Thank you.
Good evening, Bruno and Radio 2000 listeners. This is Tia Timajoro from Kutanong, Orlando Express. I'm happy that my team, Kaizer Chiefs, came to the party, although I'm not too convinced about their play. Their play is not yet there where we want it. But I think if Matt can come back and Caleb can start playing, then we'll have a different dimension or different style of play altogether. Then we can gel better with the three runners behind him, because playing Karma as the main striker, it has its disadvantages because of height and the defenders, some defenders just bully him, and then I think having Caleb is gonna help us, and Matt Beck is gonna stabilize the midfield, and as our central defenders, they'll just have to come to the party or convert Sifiso Santi into playing a left center back, and then we can play on the left hand side the boy that we just acquired from Mozambique, ex Cape Town City player. Then I think we'll be sorted, and then Kunyeka on the right, and then Santi on the left, and then we have Solomon, and then I think we'll be right.
Good evening, Radio 2000. I just like to congratulate the Dedijana for winning the race yesterday, a Comrade Marathon. Well done. I'm proudly South African. Keep on going, guys, and make South Africa proud. This is Trevor from Boxback.
Good evening, Brian. I just want to say congratulations to Amakhosama Athletic Phefene Tlama boys. Now I want Sundown. Please, I want Sundown. Nzwilthini in Bombay and it's played. Bye.
What we'll try and do tomorrow, we'll try and get Charles Baloyi, one of our guys that does athletics, talk about seeing the news that are coming out. We saw earlier on today there was one runner that passed away. I'm told now two have passed away. So we'll try and get the latest on that story tomorrow. Thank you very much for being part of the show today. It was very, very hectic. Josta doesn't run away. Maybe, you see, Josta used to play for Chiefs and Sundowns. He doesn't commit to which team must play which, so try and get hold of you or hold of him some other time. But it was a great one indeed. Thank you very much for taking part and making sure that you speak to us on the show today. Tabo, want to make sure that everything sounded very nice on air. Charlie Rasmus pressed all the buttons, and Len Mwekiti kept things going very well on the show overall. Coming up on the other side, you got life. Love and all. But Evelyn Tongwan will take care of the news at 7 p.m. My name is Brian Mofokeng. I'm back again on the radio tomorrow. From Game Time, have yourself a super duper evening.
SABC News. Independent and impartial.
Thank you. The top stories: Likota to respond to his suspension, and the search for a new non-executive SABC board to start in earnest. Good evening. I'm Evelyn Tongwani. The Congress of the People's COPE Deputy President, Willie Madisha, says the party's president, Msiwa Likota, is yet to respond to the decision to suspend him. Likota was suspended following the party's urgent Congress National Committee meeting yesterday on allegations of corruption and sowing divisions within the party. COPE says that it has not decided yet if Likota will be recalled from parliament or not. Madisha will be the interim takeover Likota's position.
In the absence of the president, in line with the constitution, the deputy president does the work. However, the letter